earth to experience our humanity, our trials, and our temptations. And it was at the age of 30 years old that Jesus began his active ministry. For 3.5 years, Jesus ministered on earth. And when he looked on the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He made the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead to life. He set people free from spirits and from devils. He loved sinners. Jesus loved sinners. He reached out to the outcast of society, and he sought those out that were rejected and those that were lost. He gave hope to the hopeless, courage to the despondent, and truly Jesus was a light in the darkness. He preached a message that was very strange and foreign to the philosophies that were promoted at that time. He taught a life of love. He taught a life of forgiveness and long-suffering. And as the officers of his day said, nary a man spake like this man. Never did a man speak like this man. Another place it said he spake as one having authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus did not come seeking a following after himself. He did not come to gain a following, but he came to point people to God the Father. He did not come speaking of himself. So often we find Jesus in his life of humility. When he would work a miracle, he would say, "Don't tell anybody what I have done." But he came to point people to God. He did not come with the riches of this world, but he came and he exemplified and demonstrated what it meant to live the life of a servant. When people were and are worthy of judgment, Jesus responded with mercy and love. He was the personification of God's love. He was the embodiment, if you will, of the Word of God. And he was an expression and an example of truth and righteousness. And it is as the prophet said in the book of Isaiah in the 53rd chapter, in the 3rd verse, he was despised. And he was a man of us, rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Even when Jesus walked the earth, he was rejected by a lot of his family. He was rejected by his own countrymen of his own nation. They rejected him as the Messiah. They did not accept him as the Son of the living God. They tried to stone him. They tried to throw him off a cliff. And yet, Jesus kept preaching and he kept loving. He came to this world. You see, who is this? He came to this world to heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. He came to die and shed his blood for our sin today, for our transgression, for the things that we did in our rebellion against God. Jesus came and offered himself as a perfect sacrifice to do that which the blood of bulls and of goats could not do. He came to deliver us from the sentence of death that was upon all of us. He came to give us life. And so it was for that cause, and it was for that purpose, that at the end of his 3.5 years of ministry, Jesus came to the city of Jerusalem, knowing that the Golgotha cross and suffering and death was ahead of him. And he came willingly. And as he came to Jerusalem, we will find and begin our reading in the 21st chapter of Matthew this morning. Matthew chapter 21 in verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage in the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring her unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, the Lord, say the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. So he sent his disciples out and said, Go and bring me this donkey and her colt. And if anybody says, What are you doing? He said, Just tell them the Lord hath need of them. And so they brought this donkey to Jesus. And when this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. You see, Jesus came not as a conquering king to destroy. He came as a king of peace. And a king that would come into a town or a city that was coming to conquer would be riding on a horse. And that is the picture we see in the book of Revelation of Jesus, where it said he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was pictured on a white horse. He was coming to conquer sin and to destroy sin. But as Jesus came in at the conclusion of his ministry to the city of Jerusalem, he came not to conquer them. He came offering peace. When a king was going to come to a city and he was not coming to conquer, but was coming in peace, he would ride on a donkey. And so Jesus followed that symbolic act by riding on the back of a donkey. And so he came into Jerusalem, and it was fulfilled, that which was prophesied 450 to 500 years before. The prophet Zechariah said, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt of the foal of an ass. That was what Jesus fulfilled this day when he told his disciples, Go bring me that donkey. It was fulfilling the scripture of 500 years before that, that he came to offer peace, knowing that that lonely Golgotha road was ahead of him, and yet he still came. When his disciples tried to deter him and say, Don't go to Jerusalem, because they knew there was a plot against Jesus, it was dangerous for him to go there, and yet Jesus went willingly. And then in verse 6, it said his disciples went and did what he commanded them. And in verse 8, it said, And a very great multitude. Now, what is a multitude? Does anybody know how many that is? Well, think about this for a moment. Jesus fed a multitude. And we know a little bit about those numbers. When Jesus fed a multitude, he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. And how do the numbers of women and children normally compare to the men that follow Jesus? There were a whole lot more men or women and children there. So it was very likely there were 15, 20, 25,000 people that Jesus fed. Well, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, it said there was a great multitude of people. This was more than 50 people that were lining the streets with the coming of Christ into the city. This was thousands, most likely thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And we see a picture here on what we now call Palm Sunday that we had never seen before and we have yet to see again in the ministry of Christ. We see them following them, but we see the people honoring and lifting up Jesus in the position that he truly was in as the King of Kings. It said a great multitude in verse 8. They spread their garments in the way. And others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. Now keep in mind one of the other accounts of this in the other Gospels, in the book of John, it said they took palm leaves. And so that's why we call this Palm Sunday, the Sunday before the Friday of the resurrection. And they took their palm leaves and they began to wave them and they began to shout and they began to praise and they took their garments and laid them down in the road that donkey with Christ on his back, the Prince of Peace, could ride over that. It was a symbol of a king, someone that was being honored and adored and lifted up in adoration. And that's what took place that day, so many years ago. Palm leaves symbolically symbolize goodness. And they symbolize victory. Even on some of the old coins, they would put palm leaves on the coins. They were put on important buildings. They said that branches of palm leaves were carried by the victors, even in the athletic contest, what we would now call the Olympics. They used palm leaves. It was a symbol of victory and conquering and triumph. Solomon, when he built the magnificent temple, there were palm branches carved on the walls and on the doors. So there was a lot of significance to this. And so the multitudes went before him with the palm leaves, the palm branches, and they followed him crying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Oh, I wish I could have been there. You know, there's going to come another day that we hear tens of thousands of people giving God glory. We see a picture of that in Revelation when the saints are gathered around the throne and they are offering their sacrifices of praise. But that time on this Sunday, there were thousands there that were calling out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." That word Hosanna was a word that was traditionally used when to petition a king for help. And so when a king would come to help them, it was an expression of joy in salvation. In other words, save now is what it means. Hosanna, save now. In other words, our Redeemer, our salvation, the help that we needed, it's here. It was a petition, and yet it was an expression of joy and praise. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so that is very similar to our word that is used all over the world today when we say hallelujah. It's an expression of praise. It's an expression. See, that word hallelujah is a combination of two words. It's an expression of praise with an abbreviated name of the Creator. And they put those two words together, and it's hallelujah. So how often do you say hallelujah? They were calling out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." And you know, that's the only place in the Scripture that we find Jesus in his earthly ministry receiving that kind of adoration. And yet, there was something beautiful about this Sunday that Jesus came in, and for once, there was a great public acknowledgement that this is the King of Kings. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior. This is the one that God sent from heaven to be our Savior and our help. And so they cried out, "Hosanna." It is a quote. When they said, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," they were quoting from the 118th Psalm, verse 26. "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord." That expression from Psalm were words that were used by people that were working in the sanctuary when someone would bring their alms or their offering of thanksgiving. And when they would bring their offering of thanksgiving, they would say, "Oh, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." They were bringing something. They were bringing their sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so now we have a picture of Jesus who had endured persecution and suffering and rejection, and yet we see a glimpse and a picture of his kingship as they gave that same attribute and they gave that same adoration to him. Blessed is he that cometh. He's bringing something to us. He's bringing a change in our lives. It was a celebration of his rightful place as the King of glory. And we need not this morning wait for another. The King has come. The Messiah has come. It is sad to me that there are many people today that cannot celebrate Palm Sunday because they don't know who this is. They don't know who this is. Some say he was just a good man. Some say he was another philosopher. Some say he was just a prophet. And there are many people that are still waiting and longing for the Messiah to come. But the good news is this morning, the Messiah has come. The Messiah has come. He is here. In verse 10, it said, when he was come into Jerusalem, all of the city was moved. This was not done in a corner. Jerusalem was an enormous city, and it said the whole city was moved because they knew something was going on. When you hear the thousands crying, I remember I've been in other countries before, and I've heard, I remember one time in Ghana, actually Renee was with me and the children very young. And we heard a roar of people, and there were people started running through the village. And we were like, what is going on? Because off in the distance, we could hear shouts, and something is happening, and we weren't quite sure. And they said, the president has come. The president has come, and people were running from all over the village and the city or the town, and they were running to go to where the president was. I have to think that something very similar happened. As Jesus got closer and more people came, the thousands were, what's going on? The Messiah has come, and they went running to join the crowd, entering into almost a mob mentality. Hosanna, Hosanna. I don't think they understood the depth of what they were saying. I know they didn't understand the fullness of the kingdom of God, and yet they entered into that. Incidentally, there in Ghana, it was Devin was about 3 years old at the time, I believe, 4, 5 years old, and he took off with people were running, and all of a sudden we looked around and he was gone and thought, oh Lord, help us. We were in a rural village, and he was gone. And he saw everybody running, and he took off with them. And so thankfully, some of the locals went, and they found him out in the crowd. He was going to see the president. Do you know this morning that what we do has an influence on others too? They went, but they went with the crowd. And the prophet, and then they were moved, it said. And then there were people that asked a question, and they said, who is this? Who is this? I mean, people are saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And we don't know who this is. Who is this? And they responded and said, the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And I want us to understand something, because these people that said he was the prophet were not saying that he was not the Messiah. They were quoting from Moses, all right? Because Moses spoke of, in Deuteronomy 18, it said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and unto him ye shall hearken. He was talking about Moses was a type of Christ. He delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And the prophecy was, I'm going to raise up another prophet. So when they said, who is this? And the answer was, this is the prophet. They were pointing back to Moses. This is the prophet. This is not just a prophet, but this is the prophet of Nazareth. The one that was prophesied, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And it is him that we're showing honor and glory to. Well, it was shortly thereafter that Jesus walked that lonely road to Golgotha. There was no more shouting, Hosanna. There were no more crowds of people saying, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And yet there were still shouts. The crowd was still shouting, but they were saying, crucify him. His disciples were no more praising loudly, to the point that the Pharisees told Jesus, tell your disciples to be quiet. And he said, if I tell them to be quiet, he said, the rocks would cry out in praise. But now we find the crowd is no longer shouting, Hosanna. They're shouting, crucify him. No longer were the disciples right beside him, praising him. We find Peter denying him in whispers. I don't know who that is. That was less than a week later. So who is this man? Who is this Jesus this morning? Do you recall in the 16th chapter of Matthew where Jesus asked his disciples a question? He said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elias, and some a prophet. And Jesus asked them a question. He said, who do you say that I am? May I ask you this morning, who is this? Who do you say that Jesus is? Well, the preacher said, or my mom and dad said, or I have heard it that he, who do you say? Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you. Upon this rock I will build my church. He was not talking, as some would like to say, Peter was the rock upon the church was built. No, upon the rock, upon this truth, the truth that I am the Christ, the truth that I am the Son of the living God, upon that rock, upon this truth, I will build my church. So who is he to you today? Will we shout and rejoice today and say hallelujah? Will we say Hosanna? Will we acknowledge him on Palm Sunday? Will we acknowledge that this is our King? Will we acknowledge that this is my Savior? This is my healer. This is my comforter. This is the author and the finisher of my faith. This is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the comforter. But if we say that today, what are we going to say Friday night? In the middle of the night when the battle is raging and the temptations are great, who is this man to us then? Because that Friday night, the cries of Hosanna were gone and they were saying, crucify him. And the very people, some of them, that were praising him, because Peter was praising him on this day, we find Peter in his whispers, I don't know who that is. So who is this man to you? Is it just on Palm Sunday that we acknowledge him as our King? Or can we go home to our families and in the difficulties of life, in the frustrations of relationships, in the temptations of sin, can we still say, this is my King? In the decisions that we are making, in the choices of life, is this still our King, or is that just something that we enter into a mob mentality? Because you see, there are churches full of people today in the U.S. and around the world that are celebrating Palm Sunday. It's a day to acknowledge God and Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yet they will go home and they will go back to their sin. Friday night we'll still find some of those that are rejoicing today and dancing in celebration. You will find them in the bars, going back to their drugs, going back to their adultery, going back to their fornication, going back to their covetousness, going back to the cares of life, allowing the riches in the pursuit of it to control them. And the call and the praises have been muffled. But if Jesus is our King this morning, and it is a reality that we believe He is the Messiah, that means I want Him to be my Messiah tomorrow. It means I want Him to be my Lord of Lords. When I'm making a decision, do I do A or do I do B? I would come and say, Lord, You are my King. I don't want another king in my life. I don't want to be subject to the influences of this world. I don't want to be subject to the passions of the flesh. I don't want to be subject to the influences of my family that we might go a different way. I don't want to be subject to the things and the cares of life that we all have to deal with. But I want my life to be in pursuit of this man who I still say today is the King. This is the Savior. So we sang this song a little bit earlier. We will crown Him Lord of all. Have you crowned Him in your life this morning? Or is it just when the rest of the crowd is shouting Hosanna? Are we crowning Him King? Can people in our lives look at us last week when we went to town, when we went to work, when we were at school, when we were in the privacy of our home, were we still crowning Him King as Lord of our life? I want God and I want Christ to receive joy, the pleasure of praise, the sacrifices of praise and worship, not just on Palm Sunday, but I want to be found in the darkness of the night, still saying, Lord, You are my King. When I'm making decisions and I'm being pulled so many different directions, I still want to do what my King told me to do when He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I'm going to take care of these other things. But see, that goes beyond emotion then, doesn't it? Because the mob can change so quickly. Hosanna one day, crucify Him the next. And it's happening among Christian people still today. But I trust that each one of us will still give God praise. Lord, we acknowledge You this morning as our Savior. I'm so thankful the Messiah has come. But when I go home today, I'm not going to leave my praise from the Messiah here behind this desk or from those pews. I'm going to take it home with me because He's still my King. He's still my Savior. And so as we conclude the service this morning, this was the stone. Who is this? This is the stone which was set at naught. People rejected Him, but He truly has become the head of the corner. And there is no other name given among heaven whereby men must be saved. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. And as there was that day, thousands of people that were lifting His name up and exalting Him, there is coming another day when every knee is going to bow down. You can find it in the second chapter of Philippians. In the 9th verse, wherefore, I'll read it to you, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would what? Every knee would bow of things in heaven and in things in earth and things on the earth, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. I would much rather this morning acknowledge it today. Jesus Christ is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. I don't want to wait till the judgment and be found in a condition of rejection. And at that point, bow down and acknowledge, yes, You are right. That was the King of Kings. We would be better if you want your life to be blessed this morning, acknowledge Him as your King now. Seek first the kingdom of God now, because in the end time, when Jesus comes back and we stand before the judgment seat of God, every atheist is going to kneel down and say, this truly is the Son of God. Every Muslim is going to acknowledge Jesus Christ. how much better for us today to acknowledge and let Him have His rightful place in our life. On this Palm Sunday, I would ask you this question: who is this in your life? I thank the Lord for the King and Messiah today. Amen.